Blog Talk Radio.
Soul, the rock of our faith. I wouldn't say happy Sabbath, but it's the end of the Sabbath, but Shabbat Shalom anyway. Shalom. Peace be unto you. I pray that everybody is has had a great day and that you've eaten well and you've gotten the prescribed rest. Probably will not be before you long this evening. This precept that the Most High gave me is about commitment. About commitment. Okay, when Messiah says, I have meat to eat that you know not of, he's talking about our commitment. And so we're going to look at this thing. We may go in a roundabout way on some aspect of this. I have the scriptures, depends on how the Most High leads me in it. Nevertheless, let me do this and say, happy Sabbath, everyone. I've unmuted your mics.
Happy Sabbath.
Shabbat Shalom. All right. On this morning, I pray that we could understand that we're going to be like him in all and every aspect, and that in the scriptures, you know, that we will look like him. We have to be like him. And we have to take on his nature, and he shows that through us, to us through the scriptures. When he gave that to me, and he has gave it to me really like that this morning, to, you know, to be able to show what his color is and, you know, that we have to be like him and why. So if you didn't hear that message this morning, I would pray that you go back and listen to it. Look at the pictures, because the pictures that I include in the message really give us, you know, this is the description that the Most High is giving to himself through the prophets and telling us this is his color. This is his nature. This is how he looks. This is how we're going to look. And in order to achieve that, we have to become like him. So it blessed me. And so on this evening, this message, as I said, the Most High gave me this the last time that I did the series on the kingdom of love. And the way that the Most High, you know, is presenting the kingdom of love to us is that, you know, the Most High, he is love, and he approaches us from that position always. But then there comes an end to what he will tolerate. And so when he stops tolerating, saying, hey, I'm through, I'm done with this, time is over, then he comes and he judges. And then it's not pretty. What's going to happen? Yeah. And so, you know, we need to be mindful of that, that it's not going to be pretty. As a matter of fact, he says it's a day that we should even hope for.
Yeah.
So everything that we are doing now and into the time that he returns or we go to sleep, that final time, really has to be pointed at doing his will. And, you know, I'm always myself looking for things to motivate us, to motivate me, really, that things that are going to anchor me so that I know, hey, there's no way I'm turning back. There's no way I'm going the other way. There's no way for these reasons. You know, I was in a conversation just now. And, you know, they were saying, can you know that you're saved? There's no way that you can know that you're saved. I said, but the scriptures say otherwise. I say, now, scripture does say that he that endureth to the end. But if you do what Yah says to do, he says, then you can know that you're going to be saved. He is true to his word.
Hallelujah.
So it's up to you. You got to do what he said do. His word is not going to fail. And so this is the faith that he said Israel lacks. Because Israel can't walk in that faith to believe that Yah has said it. So if I do it, then his word is going to come true. And say, well, more or less, they won't believe until they see it. I said, and you don't walk in faith. Because the scripture says that we can know this. So I read them the scriptures. I said, now you're caught up in the if condition. The Most High always gives us a choice, an if condition. If you do A, then I will do B. But if you do C, then I will do D. That's everything. He doesn't just come out and say, oh, just do this like this. He gives you a choice. If you will obey, then this will happen. But if you don't, then this will happen. He don't take away your choice. You got a choice to either obey or not. Because if you believe what I say, then you can know that you have everlasting life. Then you got to walk in this thing. So I'm always looking for ways in the scripture, you know, that we can be anchored, that we can be motivated to do the will of Elohim. You know, because sometimes it's hard for some people just don't know how. How do I do that? You know, it's foreign to them, even in their mind, the concept, because the Most High in their mind is kind of abstract. You'd be surprised. Maybe you wouldn't, because most of us have been here for a minute. Probably talked to many of people and seen all kind of different opinions, understanding. But as my job with the Most High is to show people what is in the Word of Yah. And then, you know, I can't make them believe it, I can't make them do it. It's up to them to see it, hear it, believe it or not. I can only show what I've been shown and try to give us what we need so that we will be committed. You know, so one of the biggest things that I have always seen in the scriptures is people just don't understand what they're coming into. They have this fairy tale that they've been taught and don't really have any understanding of what it's going to take to walk this walk, to be committed to. They don't really even understand what they're coming into. So they never convert. They never convince. They never commit. So tonight, this precept is really about commitment. And what Messiah used, what was his rationale? What was the meat that he had that he said his disciples didn't know of? He tells them, he tells us. But then do we really read it that way? Are we accepting it that way? So let us do our statement of faith. We pray in, so we have the ladies to cover their heads, the men to uncover their heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us give the Most High hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. We thank you for today. We thank you for your spirit of peace. We thank you for making us humble, Yah. We thank you for showing us that we are your children, and we must become just like you. Hallelujah. We just strive to be that, Father, and to do that, to become just like you. Glory to your name. We worship you. We adore you. We magnify you. We lift you up. For truly you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. There is none like you, Yah. Who is like you? There is none like you, Father. Hallelujah. We know it, and we worship you, and you alone. It is you that we worship. Hallelujah. We won't worship any other Elohim. Hallelujah. We cannot be convinced to go to the right or to the left. Hallelujah. But to keep our faith focused straight on you, Father. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for
loving
today.
You.
We thank you for today. We thank you for yourself. Hallelujah. And we honor you in it. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen. Amen. All right. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Father Yah, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people would keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sin as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you, that you have walked contrary to us. And you have said that if we would repent from our sins and turn from our wicked ways, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel and hear our prayers and our supplication. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly and we have walked contrary to you and we have turned from our wicked ways. And, Father, we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, but this will be our testimony that this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you may give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Let us go to the book of Romans tonight, chapter 8. This is just in my heart. The book of Romans, chapter 8. And we'll start in verse 1.
Amen.
There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or Yeshua HaMashiach, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or hatred against Elohim. For it is not subject to the law of Elohim, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please Elohim. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, they are the sons of Elohim. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of Elohim. And if children, then heirs, heirs of Elohim, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And the Most High had a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim. Fear him and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his work. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. We are going to start this thing where? Let's go to the book of Luke. Chapter 10. And we're just going to get the first verse. And then we will come back to this, but I want us to understand that everybody has a different calling. And the most, you know, even Messiah, when he walked the earth, He just didn't have the 12 disciples, okay? And he sent other men out that weren't his, they were his disciples, but they weren't part of the 12. And he gave different instructions to those other men than he did his 12. So Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. After these things, Yeshua appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. So we got to understand that Messiah had a group of men, and they were 70 of them. He sent them out two by two to go ahead of him to every place he was going to go before he went there. We have to understand that. Because, see, we think that, you know, we might get the impression that Messiah was just going from here to there and nobody was going ahead of him. He chose 70, and he sent them out two by two. And these were not part of the 12. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Drop down to verse 5. These 12 Yeshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the ways of the Gentiles, and into any cities of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So the 12 are commanded to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He told them, don't go to the Gentiles, and don't go into any of the cities of Samaria. 70, he sent them to wherever he was going to go already. Okay? Now, let's get to, we'll come back to this. Because you have to understand that when we're reading the scripture, sometimes we may believe that this is always the apostles doing something. It was always his disciples. But Messiah had more than the 12. And at some point, he said, you must all eat my flesh and drink my blood. And then all of them left but the 12. So we hear that and understand that. Okay, so let's go to the book of John, chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4. And this is the chapter where, you know, he's talking to the woman of Samaria. And I'll just say this, but he told his disciples, don't go into Samaria. But then he said he needed to. I must need go into Samaria. Okay, so we're not going to read that account. We're going to go drop down to verse 30. Because he has dealt with this woman from Samaria. He has told her the gospel. He has admitted to her that he is the Messiah. She runs off and tells the people in the city. They come out. That she's gone to go tell the people in the city, but before she leaves, his disciples come back. His disciples have been out shopping, you know, to get food. So now, let's pick it up in verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him anything or ought to eat? Because that's what they left for. They left to go get, you know, food. And Yeshua said unto them, my meat is to do what? The will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My motivation, what feeds me, is to do the will of him that sent me. And this is what he's saying to us. Our motivation should be to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. Messiah started it. The work concerning him, he finished. But he said, greater works than these shall what? You do. So there's still a work for us to do. And our motivation should be to finish the work of the Father. What is he doing? Excuse me. What is he doing in the world? Bringing salvation still to mankind. Let's read what Messiah says. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now he's talking about, at that time, Israel, but the world also, mankind, is ready for harvest, ready to be brought into the kingdom. And he that reapeth wages, and gathers fruit into the life and unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Remember, we don't all reap and we don't all sow. We don't all plant and we don't all reap. And we don't all plant and we don't all sow, which is the same thing, planting and sowing. And herein is the same truth. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap, whereupon you bestowed no labor. They have come to Samaria, and Messiah said, I need to go there. So what did we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 1? That he sent some men already ahead of him into every city that he had to go into. So he's telling his disciples, you're going to reap from a harvest here that you didn't bestow no labor in. You didn't come here and plant the word. You didn't come here and sow, but you're going to reap. Other men labor, and you are entered into their labors. So we got to understand that the Most High, in this great plan of his, you may not always sow where you reap. You may not reap where you sow. It depends upon what the Most High wants at that time. So here we have some men that were sent out, and they went to deal with unclean spirits, just like the disciples were gifted to heal people and run out, you know, and to chase out unclean spirits. So are these 70. Our meat in this, from the very beginning, the bottom line is to complete or finish the work of the Father. That has to be your motivation. You have to understand that that's what you're called to. The same meat that Messiah had. Because he says, we are supposed to continue the work. Our motivation should be that we're finishing the work that the Father has assigned to us so that he can come. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. They think they're waiting on Messiah to return, but Messiah's not coming until we do what we're told to do. And we keep thinking that there's a set time, and that's why these people keep getting it wrong. He said, go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. He says, and when this gospel of the kingdom is preached in every land, the true gospel, then the end shall come. So when you see all these things, rumors of wars, and you see all this sickness and plagues and all this stuff, he said, don't really worry about that stuff. That stuff has to come. But this gospel, he's not coming back until this gospel of the kingdom, the true gospel, is preached. So let us go to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 1. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 1. And these things Yah appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. So we see there's other people, and they're being sent out. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord, or Yah of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace is be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you. Eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of Elohim is come nigh unto you. Come near unto you. The kingdom of heaven is here. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your way into the street of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be you sure of this, that the kingdom of Elohim has come nigh unto you. So, again, we are told what we're supposed to be doing. Now, we don't have to travel over the roads anymore. We have technology. And so we should be reaching out to anybody and everybody with this true gospel. And we should be telling them. I mean, we really do have it easy these days. And then there's a time when we need to put boots on the ground. But we are not totally just tied to that. This is the way they had to travel. We have access to the entire world right from your desktop. And then we have those people who either cannot or will not use the technology. They still need to hear the word too. And so we can't stay wrapped up in our houses. Can't stay, you know, just comfortable. But the truth of the matter is, we have access to more people than we ever would, than our forefathers ever had access to. And so we have to go forth with this gospel, the true gospel. And when it comes time to dealing with unclean spirits, it's time to hit the road. Now, Yah is able to deal with those spirits even over online, and I've done it before. But there's a certain part about being there, being present, dealing with certain things that you need live presence. You need to meet people. You need to be able to look at them in their eyes. You need to see what their expressions are. Is it that person looking, or is it something else looking? Because you'll get that spirit of discernment. Wait a minute, that's not that person, that's something else. So he sends them out two by two, and he says, go into every city. They're going ahead of him into every city that he should go into. You know, what they can't deal with, he deals with, because he gives them the power to cast out demons, to heal the sick. He also sent them to Samaria. Because he went to Samaria, and he said these 70 had to go ahead of him. Somebody from the 70 had to go before into every city that he would go into. Can we hear that? Can we see that? And it wasn't his disciples. We have to see the work. And then we have to commit to finishing the work. And as much as we can push it forward, Yah, we are here to establish your kingdom in the earth, to finish the work that Messiah started. That is what our purpose is. That is what should be motivating us and should be fueling us. There's work to be done. You know, I know that we've had jobs for the man, somebody we went to work for, that we committed ourselves to. Maybe we believe in the job, or we like the job, or, you know, have integrity about what we do. So if they hire us to do the work, then this is what we're going to do. We're going to pour ourselves into it. Yah wants us to pour ourselves into him. So if we will do it for a worldly job, then we ought to be willing to do it for to finish the work of Yah. This was the motivation of Messiah. This is what fuels me. This is my meat. To do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He left that to us. And in every generation until the last generation, we don't know what that's going to be, when it's going to be. But I do know this, that he's not coming back until we do what he told us to do. And that is to preach this gospel. Let's continue. So what you have to understand and I have to understand about this thing, as he told the seven, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Don't go from house to house. Announce in that neighborhood where you're at, and you preach the gospel from one house. And if they reject you, then you knock the dust off your shoes. If they accept you, then you give them this word, and you heal the sick. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever laid hands on anybody to bring about a healing. But here's what must happen. First of all, you have to believe that Yah will heal, that he still does this. Because if you don't believe, don't lay hands on nobody. Because your unbelief, that prayer is not going to be answered. But that Yah might get the glory, and that he causes this person to come to him, to seek him out, because they know that they weren't healable. And the only one that could have healed them would be Yah, the Most High Elohim. That each and every one of us have to believe that the Most High is going to work through us. We are his children in training. And the only way that you build up this kind of faith and this kind of belief is to do it. If you don't never test it out, you will never know. But we all know people who are sick. Now, the way this gift of healing works, you take that illness, and then Yah heals you. So you have to believe that he's able to heal. Because if you go lay hands on somebody and they got cancer, and you take that cancer from them, then you got to know that Yah is going to heal you. Maybe healing ain't for all of us. But this is what he does. Messiah said when he was in his own hometown, he could not even feel a headache. Why? Because of their unbelief. You Joseph's son. You Mary's son. And you calling yourself the Messiah? They wouldn't believe that he was who he said that he was. So those prayers didn't get answered. Those requests didn't get answered. So you have to believe and you have to understand and walk in your, for lack of a better word, in your sonship. Beloved, now are we the sons of Yah, but it does not yet appear, but we shall be. We are already his sons. If we are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, we are his. We belong to him. We are his children. We're supposed to have his nature, and we're supposed to have his power to deal with evil spirits, to deal with demons, to deal with unclean spirits, to cause it not to rain or to cause it to rain. We just have to open our mouths and believe that Yah is going to do it. You have to be committed that, yeah, I've been called to this work. Yeah, I didn't call you into the kingdom to sit on your hands. You didn't call me into the kingdom to sit on my hands. Pray ye that the Lord or the master of the harvest, pray ye that he sends laborers into the harvest. That's you and I. Don't get to just come in and just sit. So we have to understand our role. Some of us are help. And that's our role. Some of us are teachers. Some of us are healers. Some of us are prophets and prophetesses. If you don't know, ask Yah, what is my gift that I might exercise it and walk in it, that you get the glory for the work of the kingdom? So we have to believe that we are called of Yah and that we're called to finish the work. And that should be what motivates us. I am a chosen vessel of Elohim, of Yah Elohim. And where he says, I will go. And what he says, I will do. That's the meat. Knowing who you are and that you've been called to finish the work. That should be your motivation. That should be what fuels you. There are many in the world. The world is ripe to be reaped. And we won't be the first one that they hear the gospel from. Somebody else will have gone ahead of us 99.9 times out of 10. And already did the labor. What's important is that the persons are reaped into the kingdom. All that Yah has to be reaped. That they might be saved and have eternal life. Let's say that we got to the white throne judgment. And Yah opens up the book. And then he reads to you, on such and such a date, you had the opportunity to witness to such and such a person and you didn't. And that person is now in the lake. But had you witnessed to them, it would have changed their life. We don't want those things written like that. We are called to finish the work. And if it doesn't get finished in this generation, oh, well, you did what was assigned to you. And when he returns, you will get the reward that was promised to you. We don't want to be that man or that woman that Messiah talked about, that he gave them a talent. I gave you a gift, and you kept it to yourself. And you didn't use it to bring anybody into the kingdom, or you used it sparingly. You didn't sow bountifully. You sowed sparingly. And few people were able to take advantage of the gift that I gave them. Now give me that gift back. I'm going to give it to somebody else. I'm going to give it to somebody that's going to do something with it. You knew I was an austere man, that I reap where I had not sown. That's what he just told us. We're supposed to reap where we haven't sown. Somebody else did the labor. We're just supposed to understand that we're supposed to be finishing the work, and that's our motivation. That's what fuels us. There is work to be done, and Yah has chosen us to do it. Can we hear that? Is it enough? It was enough to fuel Messiah. That was his meat. He says, my fuel is I got to do the will of him that sent me and finish the work. Now I've come and I've done my part. Now I'm leaving it to you because there's a set time that this gospel is going to be preached, the true gospel. He says, but you're going to see wars, hear rumors of wars, plagues, nation coming against nation, or ethnicity against ethnicity, and then nation against nation or country against country. You're going to hear these things. He says, and they have to happen. But the end is not yet. And then he tells us what has to happen for the end to come. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all the world. What is that gospel? The kingdom of heaven is here. How you get into the kingdom, what Messiah had to do for you to enter, that's the access point. But the gospel, true gospel of the kingdom is, it is here. And we're supposed to be living like it's here. We're supposed to believe that and know that and walk in that. That is the true gospel. That's what Messiah said. That's what John said. Repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in everything that he tells us is how to live in the kingdom. Stop transgressing. Stop breaking the laws of the kingdom. Be born again. Get filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Become my child. And when I return to take my throne, you shall rule with me in this world. And at the end of the generation, when I have called all those people for that 1,000 years, and they're up under my rule, and then I let them show their ways, their true ways, because they all just about all of them rebel and come against me, and I destroy them all, then I'm going to redo everything. I'm going to melt the heaven. I'm going to melt the earth with fervent heat. This is what we read this morning. I'm going to melt it down. And I'm going to start over. But there ain't going to be nothing wicked in that kingdom. Nothing wicked in that kingdom. And we learned that, hey, if we're not like him, if we don't have his, if we're not made of fire like he is, if we're not of the same element, you won't survive that remaking of that new earth. So he says, what is your motivation? Do you have the same meat and understand the meat of Messiah? Is it enough for you, for me, that we look and are motivated to do and finish the work of the Most High? He says, because until that work is done, the end is not coming. It's like with Noah. When the Most High told Noah to start building the ark, the Most High couldn't cause judgment to come until Noah had what? Finished building the ark. Not one drop of rain could come. Because the rain at that time, it had not rained yet on the earth, but the rain at that time was going to represent judgment. He says, all right, now, Noah, you finished doing what I told you to do. You finished building the ark. All the animals, I have sent all the animals that I'm going to save. Get your family going into the ark. I'm going to shut it up. And now I'm going to bring judgment. He told us, go ye into all the nations of the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Did you know that Yeshua came and he died for your sins that you might be able to get back into the kingdom? Which kingdom? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Elohim. And this is what you must do to enter in. That's what this whole gospel is about. And this is the job that he's given us. And our motivation, as I've said, it should be the same motivation to meet that Messiah had, that his disciples learned of later. They understood it later. We have hindsight. Our motivation should be we want the kingdom. If we want the kingdom, then we have to do the work. Yeah, I did not save any of us that we wouldn't finish the work, that we wouldn't put our hand to the plow to finish the work. This is what every generation is missing. Put your hand to the plow to finish the work, not just so that you can get into the kingdom, but to finish the work. What does that take? Now, here's what the good part about it is. Yah has already told us that he will supply everything that we need, that we would lack for nothing. We just have to believe, not walk in doubt. Every single one of us, you have to know that you know that you know that you know. That you know that you know that you belong to Yah. You have to know that. And walk in that. Because if you don't know that, whose work are you finishing? Whose side are you on? Are we hearers of the word and not doers of the word? So my question, I told you I wouldn't be before you long this evening. My question to each and every one of you, and I want you to consider this, is it enough? Is it motivation enough? The same meet that Messiah, that motivated Messiah, to do the will of the Father, to finish his work that he has for us in this world. Is that enough for you? When I look at it from that standpoint, for me, I can only speak for me, but when I look at it from that standpoint, I have to have the same dedication as Messiah had. This is what he's calling us to, male or female, because he says there is neither male nor female in who? Christ. So it's not just for the men. There's work to be done. Is to do the will of Elohim. Is that motivation enough for you? To know that he called you to do it. And is it motivation enough to keep you anchored? Because this is what anchored Messiah. He said, this is the meat that I have. I'm on assignment. And this is what motivates me. This is what keeps me. And even when, you know, he's like, man, I see what's coming. If it's possible, could you change this? But not my will, but thy will be done. Now, the 70 that went out, they went out to do the will. This is your mission. Go into every city. I'm going to go here, 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 here. He had to tell them everywhere he was going. Or he had to lead them by the Spirit, one of the two. But every place that he was to go, they were to go into it before him. Let's go back to the scriptures. Okay, now we have to understand, everybody ain't going to make it. We have to understand that we all have the power of life and death in our mouth. We have power. You just have to believe that. You have power. And the power is in your tongue. The same power as the Most High. That's what he gave to us. The Most High speaks a thing, and it becomes. All we got to do is ask, and it shall be given. If we're out in the streets, and there's a healing needed, all you got to do is ask. It's not you doing the healing. But you got to ask believing. If it's to heal somebody, if it's to deliver somebody, if it is to bring finances to someone because they are in dire straits, just to feed them, you got to believe that Yah is able to and will. This was what Messiah had over his disciples. And this is the example that he gave us. He said, I ask for their sake so they might hear. I know you're going to do it because you know what we have need of. But I ask for their sake so that they can hear and understand what's going on. He wants us, the Most High wants us to understand that we can and should come to him. And in everything that we do, we should do it in the name of Yeshua. Whatever we ask, this is Yeshua is about kingdom. And whatever we ask for kingdom's sake, because it says if we ask for it and it's in his will, what if it ain't in his will? Then you're asking amiss. You're not really in tune with it. He says, whatever we ask is in his will for kingdom's sake. And again, our motivation, our meat, in this case, is not chicken or beef or lamb, potatoes. That's going to sustain your body, but it's not going to sustain you and give you the mission, the will to do the mission and to follow it through. The motivation has to be to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. So that's what the motivation has to be. And the only way that's going to really be a motivation is if you truly believe that you are his, that you've been called to do the work. If you don't know, if you believe that, but you don't know what your gift is, I'm going to tell you, ask Yah what your gift is. What do you feel most attracted to doing? And ask him to increase you in your gift. The only way that's going to happen is you try to exercise the gift. It's like muscle memory. If you don't try to exercise it, how do you think it's going to become stronger? It won't. All right, to the scriptures. We are still in the book of Luke. The 70 he sent out, told them to go two by two, but don't take anything with you. Don't go from house to house. If you go into a city, and that city receives you, then your peace be upon that city. If the city don't receive you, shake the dust off your shoes. Now, what does he say concerning that? Because you got to understand what power we have. Verse 10. But enter into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not. Go your ways out into the street of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of Elohim has come near to you. The kingdom of Elohim is coming near unto them, because you are there offering them the kingdom of Elohim. Now, we know that social media-wise, our people love social media. And I have to be honest with you. I'm probably the last one that want to go out there and get mixed up in social media. But I will for kingdom's sake. I will to finish the work. I'm not out there looking for the arguments and the nonsense that they are offering. I'm not out there to get into their personal lives unless it is to help them straighten it out. You're walking in the wrong way. I'm not there for sex text or any of that kind of stuff, but to do the will of the Father. Because when I go out there, I'm looking, I'm like, good grief, people. God doing any and everything, saying any and everything, believing any and everything, and they're in trouble. But you have to know what you have, and you have to esteem it. This is why he's saying to do this. You have to esteem it high enough that, hey, just like Esau didn't take it seriously, whoever you go to, you're not the first person that they're hearing from, but you may be the last. If you realize that you're on assignment. And you have to do it the way the scripture says to do it. Don't get caught up in your own feelings. Because Messiah says, I'm going to rule with a rod of iron. And if you want to deal with me, and if you want to be on my team, and if you want to rule whatever, you got to deal with a rod of iron too. You can't be different from me. The fact that you are offering them salvation, the fact that you're offering them access to the kingdom, they should actually take that with great importance, seriously. And you should know who you're representing, so you have to represent. If they got a problem with getting high, you can't be getting high with them. If they got a problem with drinking, you can't be drinking with them. If they got a problem with a vulgar mouth, you can't be cussing and what have you with them. You can't hold that same conversation. Cannot be like them. If you being like them, then why should they come to Yah? What's different about you? You doing the same thing I'm doing. The Father wants us to do the work and to finish the work. And if it, like I said, if it's generational, then understand. Need to do the part in your generation. Need to do the part in your generation, in our generation. I hope we can hear this. And that our motivation is, Yah Elohim has need of me. He wants me. He has selected me. I'm not here by chance. I could be somewhere else, listening to somebody else, doing something else different. Not meant for you to be there. Meant for you to get this meat that Messiah has, that he used, that motivated him. This is my view. All right. Now, for every place where you go, that's why I say you got to esteem this gospel, that it is precious. What did he say about, first of all, what is our mentality about the Most High? There is nothing more valuable than him. Nothing. No one. You got to go out with that mentality. And when I'm offering you the kingdom, I'm offering you the highest thing that could ever be offered to you. And if you don't esteem it, if you are that vulgar and vile of a person that you could talk, cuss me out or do whatever, then the Most High has already predetermined what your fate is. I'm to knock off the dust of my shoes to you. You can't be any different than what Yah has said to do, what Messiah has said to do, or you are being disobedient. See, can't make it about us. We can't make it personal to the point that our personal desire, our personal feelings override what the Most High said to do. Can't do that. Can you care and love for your brother and sister? Yes. But if they are contrary or they try to make you do something contrary to the word of Yah, if they reject it, they don't take this thing serious like Esau didn't take it serious. He said, I have given you the power of life and death. You don't want to be choosing who dies and who lives. That's not your job. Their actions dictate your decision. If Yah plans for them to be saved and they reject you, you still do what you're supposed to do. Yah has the last say. And so you don't worry about that. You're doing what you're supposed to do. I hope we can hear this. Don't go to the right or to the left of it, because then it becomes about you and you making the decision. We don't want to be in that position. We just want to do what we're told. That makes it easy, because then it's not you. I'm doing my job. You hear policemen and you hear all kind of people say that all the time. It wasn't personal. I was just doing my job. And when it comes to people, it has to be that way. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And if you are righteous, then you have to always come down on the side of right. Even if it's contrary to that person, or if it's in their benefit, you still got to come down on the side of right. Is doing the Father's will and finishing his work, is that good enough for you? Is it an assignment that you can accept? Because each one of us has to accept it. You can accept or reject it. It's up to you. But this is what we're supposed to be doing in these last days. And as I said, if it's my last days or your last days, it is the last days, one way or the other. If it's Yah's last days, it's the last days. None of us know how much time we have left on this earth. So we want to do what we're supposed to be doing with the time we have left. You know, for me, I have to be honest with you. I truly wish that I had not played and that I had come to the Most High earlier in my life. Even though I've kind of always been with him, I kind of played too, to the point that he said, hey, you, I called you. And I'm not going to always call you. I'm not going to continue to call you. So I personally wish that I had not played around, had not been stiff-necked and hard-headed, had not been afraid that I was going to have to give up this thing in the world or that thing in the world, because that's really what was going on. I'm going to have to stop doing this. I'm going to have to stop doing that. I'm going to have to do whatever it was just nonsense. But even now, I would pray that we would hope that we are still able to do a work for Yah. I would pray that. Okay. Now, whosoever in these cities, whosoever you contact, if you decide to do this, whether in life and personal or through social media, however you feel like the Most High is leading you, understand what you have to offer and don't take what you have to offer lightly, because Yah doesn't take it light. He even goes so far to say, do not cast your pearls before swine. That swine can be anybody who is rejecting the word of Elohim. And he says it himself, I would not that any should be lost. But then he tells you, most of y'all ain't going to make it. It's not his desire that any should be lost, and you don't have a heaven or a hell to put them into, and I don't have a heaven or a hell to put them into. We can only just be obedient and do what Yah has told us to do. I pray we can hear this, and I pray that understanding what the high calling that the Most High has given to you and has called you to, what Messiah has left to us, finish the work, preach the gospel of the kingdom. Don't worry about what's going on in the world. Do what I've assigned to you. Because, see, a lot of times we want to get caught up in what's going on in the world. This is like earlier I was, you know, explaining to the brothers. I said, hey, y'all keep talking about this Babylon. And you keep talking about confusion. But everything you're saying about it is confusing. It's New York City. No, it's this country. No, it's that country. It's only in the past. I said, simply, that statute that Nebuchadnezzar was shown, that shows all the kingdoms of the world, the major ones, the ones that were going to be global or almost global, that's what it represents, but it really represents government, the governments of the world. Doesn't matter whether it's a big government or a small government, the government is there. Why? Because they feel like they can rule the people. And if it's not of Yah, if they're not keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of Yah, and if Yah is not the head of it, it is nothing but confusion. When man thinks that he can govern himself better than the Most High can, then you are confused. That's what that statue represents. Man's confusion and thinking that he can rule himself outside of God, outside of the Most High Elohim. So let us, not us be confused. Understand what you have. Understand what the Most High has given you. And don't let anybody disrespect it. Don't let anybody try to change your mind and your heart about it. Understand that what you have is more precious than anything else in this world. And it should really upset you when people reject it. Not because they rejected you. That's why the Most High told Samuel, hey, it ain't you they're rejecting, it's me. Don't make it about you. Give them the word. Call to them. Don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of what they're going to think about you or what they're going to say about you. You know how wild our kids are. Just like when, who was it? I think it was Elijah, that he was the bald-headed one. When the kids came out and they were cursing him, calling him you old bald-head fool, and he turned around and he spoke to those kids and those bears came out of the woods because they didn't have respect. And you're going to say, well, why is that the children's fault? I will only tell you this. It's not their fault, but the sins of the parents can fall on the children. And if they disrespect the Most High, he's not a respecter of persons. We know our young people on the street, they something else. Don't fear them. If you're online, let me say this to you. Be careful. Why? Because spirits do travel through the air and they'll travel through the internet. And if your faith is not strong, there's some things and some people you ought not mess with. It is real. And they are out there hunting for spirits and souls just like you're supposed to be. But according to your faith, do you believe that Yah is able to protect you and that he will protect you? Or do you have a fear that you might meet somebody that's stronger that might cause you to doubt? Because there are some evil and wicked people out there. And they will try to call something evil and wicked on you. You got to know that you're able to send it back. You have no power over me. That hellhound you sent, guess what? He ain't going to get fed over here, so guess what? He's coming back to you hungry. He's going to be looking at you like a meal. You got to understand the authority and the power that you walk in. If you're not sure, don't mess. Because your doubt and your unbelief will get you in trouble. But this is the work that is before us. Messiah said, this is my meat to finish this work. This is what motivates me. Does it motivate you? Now, anybody that is of a mind that they want to get into spiritual warfare, drop me an email. Just tell me. I'm interested in doing spiritual warfare. Because, as I said, you can actually do that through the internet and online, even on Facebook. And you don't have to walk alone in it. But we are to be winning souls by every means possible, every avenue available to us. And that's one thing that a lot of people don't like the internet for, because they say, oh, it's all this wickedness, but you can use it for good as well. It's just like I said on Facebook, the stuff that I see, I'm like, good grief. People in trouble. So Messiah, meet. Is it enough for you to do the will of the Father and to finish his business? Only thing I can tell you is you are not here listening to me by accident. But the choice is always yours. Is it enough to do the will of him that called you and to finish the work? All right, let us bow our heads. You are our inspiration. You are our reason for being. For this purpose, called you us into this world. For this purpose, sent you us into this world. For this purpose, called you out of the world. Us out of this world. That we might do your will. The nations and the people are hurting. And they are into some of everything. Father, you know who you have chosen to be saved. It is you that is calling. It is you that is doing the choosing. It is not up to us. We just want to be that willing and able and available vessel. Father, show thy people the gifts that you have given them. What is their strong trait? What is the talent that you have given them that they may operate to your glory? Give them what they need to operate within it. Increase their faith. Let them understand that nobody gets a free pass. If we call ourselves coasting into the kingdom, then we will be like the brethren who had the one talent. And when Messiah came back and asked him, and he reported, I still got my same talent. I knew you were an austere man. I knew you were rough. We don't want him to take it from us and give it to somebody else. Father, our people, Israel, the so-called Negro, yeah, you know. And Father, I beg you, you told me to make the call. And I'm making the call through different venues. Such as should be saved, Father. Give us what we need. That thy will be done. In the earth just as it is in heaven. You are, Yah, enough. You are our motivation. We want to finish the work. Help us to finish the work, Father. Give us what we need. Send somebody to encourage these brothers and these sisters that they might know that it is you that has called them. Let it be confirmed. That they might do thy will and thy business. Thank you for even considering us. We thank you for allowing us to hear your word. We thank you for allowing us to see your arm. We thank you for the opportunity, just for the opportunity to participate. Of all the people in the world, you chose us. And each and every one of us should make that personal. You chose me. Didn't have to do it. Will you come? Father, bless us. In our coming in and our going out, encourage us. Give us the spirit of strength. Convict us in our mind. And whatsoever we need, Father, we pray for the kingdom's sake. that you will provide it. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen. All right. Tomorrow night, new moon service. I'm going to start sending out texts myself to people tonight, asking them to come, asking them to, you know, come and participate. I pray you do the same. I know everybody's got a list of people in their phone. Everybody's not all in the Word. I know everybody in my phone ain't in the Word. Where it's appropriate at, invite them, that they might hear the word of Yah. Let's pray that Yah shows up for us and for them. Let's make ourselves available that somebody is hurting and needs this gospel. It needs a true gospel, something that they can latch onto and hold on to, that is solid, that is not going to be shaken away. That they might come and hear the truth of Yah. May the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from hurt and harm, seen and unseen. May the Most High shine, cause his face to shine upon you. That should have new meaning for you after this morning. May he shine his face upon you, and may he give you peace. And may he bless your coming in and your going out. Remember, I love you. I really do. But Yah loves you more. Shalom, family.
Teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away.